You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us for the very, very first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a great habit to get into, and lots of folks around this great planet have that habit. A couple of quick announcements that are pretty important. As you may know, you should be aware by now, we have a drawing coming up. Now, this drawing is on March the 2nd, 2009, sponsored by Expeditions TV. Jerry Wills over at Expeditions TV is going to be giving away a beautiful hand-woven tapestry from Urcos Island down in Peru. And all of the people who are subscribers to our members area, we're going to be drawing from the names, okay? So if you're a member, make sure that you have your name in your profile. On the show on March the 2nd, we're going to do the drawing. So we'll take all the names, put them in a box, shake them up, have somebody draw a name out, and that person gets the tapestry. You don't have to buy any tickets to win. You don't have to. You just make sure that you got your name in your profile. Also, since I published Gods in the Garden, this is a book that deals with what does Genesis actually say. It doesn't deal with should you believe in Genesis and its story. It doesn't deal with trying to prove that that creation story that you've heard all your life from your Sunday school class is true. In fact, I don't even care what your Sunday school class taught you. I don't care whether you believe that Genesis is true or not true. The book just deals with one thing. What does it say? Because what it actually says, ladies and gentlemen, is vastly different from what you've been told most of your life. Vastly different. Some people say, well, that's just a matter of interpretation. You can make it say whatever you want it to. No. No, it's written with words. Words have definitions. And if you just read the words and look at the definitions, it says something really different from what you've always heard it says. Well, since I published that, I've been getting lots of email from people saying, man, I wish you would do a seminar on this. So we're going to do that. Now, we're shooting for a target date of March the 29th. It'll be a live seminar. For those who are in the Phoenix area, they can attend it. And for those who are not, it will be televised live. You have to have a password in order to be able to see it. But it will be televised. The live seminar will be televised. And more information will be coming as we sort of firm this up a little bit. But I need to hear from you if you're interested so I can put you on the mailing list to send that information to. And it will rock your boat. And not because I'm attacking anything, but simply by taking the words that are actually written in that book called Genesis and looking at what it actually says, not what all the theologians have said it means, that will rock your boat. Got something else that may rock your boat. When we come back from this break, we'll be talking about astronaut Dr. Harrison Schmitt. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And to, I think, a pretty interesting discussion this evening. We're not going to spend the entire 2 hours on just this one topic. I've got some more stuff for us to take a look at, and we'll open the telephone lines for you and so forth. But we've got some pretty interesting things we need to talk about. Before we get into that, I need to remind you that all of the music that you hear on this show comes from a couple of different places. It's all independent artists, and they've put their music on a variety of websites that they say it's okay for you to use this, all right? You can put it in your show. You can put it in podcasts and so forth. And you can go there and listen to their songs free of charge. And by the way, in many cases, they have their CDs available right there. There's a link. If you hear one you really, really like and you want to buy the CD, you can do it. All right, now, one of those sites is GarageBand.com, and the other one is Music.Podshow.com. And I thank both of those sites for providing such an excellent service. So check those out, all right? Now, I think just about everybody in the world remembers, or if they're too young to remember, they at least are familiar with the Apollo space program. This was a period of time in NASA's history when they were using Saturn V rockets, and they had a space capsule sitting on top of the Saturn V rocket. It was big enough for three people, and so there were three astronauts inside, and they ran several missions. Some of those missions were moon missions. Some of them were not. The early ones were not. But, I mean, they didn't land on the moon in the early ones. But then they began landing people on the moon. Well, Apollo 17, which, of course, was the last mission to the moon, the last manned mission to the moon, by NASA, and nobody else has done it. Apollo 17 had, of course, three people inside. The two that descended to the surface of the moon were Gene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt. And Harrison Schmitt, it depends on which way you look at it. He was the last man to walk on the moon, or maybe not. Now, let me explain. The last man whose foot was on the moon was Gene Cernan, because he got back into the launch vehicle to take off and go back up to the Apollo capsule. He got back on last. So his foot was the last one on the surface of the moon. However, it was Harrison Schmitt who was the last one when they got there. He was the last one coming down the ladder and putting his foot on the moon. So he's the last one to get out onto the moon. He is kind of a unique individual in that he's the only geologist that NASA had. And he was in that first group of scientist astronauts that NASA recruited. As a geologist, he taught other astronauts how to be aware, what to look for, how to be aware of certain geological formations and features, what should be interesting to them in terms of collecting samples and so forth. But he is also the first scientist to get a crew assignment. So he's the first scientist to actually fly in space go to the moon and do his science work on the moon. I'll show you a picture of him on the moon in just a little bit. It's pretty interesting. What do we know about this man? Well, what we know about this man is he's excessively bright. He was born in Santa Rita, New Mexico. He was raised in Silver City, New Mexico. Today, I believe he lives in Albuquerque. But he received a Bachelor of Science degree from the California Institute of Technology in 1957. And then he spent a year studying geology at the University of Oslo in Norway. He received a Ph.D. in geology from Harvard University in 1964. He is an American geologist, a former NASA astronaut, a university professor, and a former U.S. senator. This guy has tons and tons of credentials, and all of them impeccable credentials as a scientist. He's done his science work here on planet Earth and on the moon. And so when he speaks about something scientific, it doesn't mean, of course, that he's infallible, but it certainly means you need to pay attention. He has been, for a number of years, a member of the Planetary Society and has recently resigned. Now, let me tell you about the Planetary Society. Dr. Schmidt joined this society, founded in 1980 by Carl Sagan, Bruce Murray, and Louis Friedman. And according to what they put on their website about the Planetary Society, here's what they say about them, about themselves. They say, today, the Planetary Society is the largest, most influential public space organization group on Earth, dedicated to exploring the solar system and seeking life beyond Earth. The Planetary Society is non-governmental and non-profit and is funded by the support of its members. The Planetary Society leads by example through private ventures such as the Solar Sail, through public-private partnerships such as the Mars Microphone. Remember that? And in fact, I think it's still on the internet where you can go to a website and listen to the sounds that are coming from the surface of Mars, the wind blowing and whatever. through promoting grand and ambitious adventures such as human missions to Mars, we continue to find more ways for members of the public to participate directly in humanity's evolution into a multi-planet species as we inspire the people of Earth to explore other worlds and seek other life. We believe that our next age of exploration will be a vital, exciting, adventurous time with Planetary Society members involved in the adventure of making great discoveries and acquiring new knowledge about our solar system neighborhood and about ourselves. And then under a paragraph entitled Our Mission, it says, Our mission, to inspire the people of Earth to explore other worlds and understand our own and seek life elsewhere. Our members, we come from more than 125 countries and are astronauts, scientists, entrepreneurs, educators, parents, and grandparents, corporate and foundation leaders, engineers, planetarium, museum and science directors, policymakers, and space enthusiasts. You. Well, it sounds good, doesn't it? It really does. So why has Dr. Harrison Schmidt resigned from the Planetary Society? Now, I'm quite certain that his resignation was, you know, some time ago, maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, something like that. It's just now beginning to make the news, but the reason is because the Planetary Society has released a report taking the position that global warming, let me change this, this is my characterization of it, and we'll come back and clarify, but the Al Gore model of global warming, now I use that so that you'll get it in your head what it is they're saying. They've published a report supporting that model of global warming, which says that global warming is a reality, it is severe, it's rapidly accelerating, and you caused it. Well, Dr. Schmidt, one of the premier scientists in this country, one of the very few, well, the only one to go to the moon, has taken a look at the data, and he has compared the data with that report. And here's what he says. He says, I don't think the human effect is significant compared to the natural effect. He's talking about global warming. And he said that global warming, the global warming scare is being used as a public tool. I'm sorry, let me start over. I'll get this right. I washed my tongue just before the show, and I can't do a thing with it. The global warming scare is being used as a political tool to increase government control over American lives, incomes, and decision-making. Now, that's a quote from Dr. Schmidt. He is a scientist. He is an astronaut. He is a former U.S. senator. And he says, I am leaving the Planetary Society. He resigned from the Planetary Society, and these are the statements that he has made. I want to read that again. In his resignation letter, he said, the global warming, this is a quote, the global warming scare is being used as a political tool to increase government control over American lives, incomes, and decision-making. Now, when he's questioned on the about global warming, he says this, and I quote, not that the planet hasn't warmed, it's not that. We know it has, or we'd all still be in the ice age. But it has not reached a crisis proportion. And even among us skeptics, there's disagreement about how much man has been responsible for that warming. And then he noted that temperatures, that he says the historical documents and data indicate that average temperatures have risen by only 1 degree per century since around 1400 AD, and the rise in carbon dioxide is because of the temperature rise. Schmidt also said that geological evidence indicates that changes in sea level have been going on for thousands of years. It's not new. He said smaller changes are related to changes in the elevation of land masses. For example, the Great Lakes are rising because the Earth's crust is rebounding from being depressed by glaciers. So he has stepped out of the Planetary Society. He has resigned, and he's no longer part of it. And the reason that he has resigned is because of this report of that has been released by the Planetary Society, taking the position that global warming is a man-made crisis. And he said the scientific data simply doesn't support that. It isn't true, and he doesn't want to be a part of that. Now, we'll talk about this a little bit tonight, because, see, every time I bring this up, I can, and look, don't let my comments keep you from sending me whatever email you want to send me, okay? I'm just explaining what happens. Every time I bring this up, I get a flood of email from people trying to convince me that global warming is real. Well, like Dr. Schmidt, I will admit that temperatures have warmed up slowly, gradually, they have warmed up. As he says, the data shows that the average temperature of the Earth has warmed up about 1 degree per century. If global warming, and I hate to use that term, but right now I'll use it as kind of a shorthand. If it were not a reality, don't you realize you would be living in an ice age? Don't you realize that the reason that you have never lived in an ice age is because the Earth has been warming up? And that's what brought an end to the ice age. There have been many ice ages. That's what brought an end to each one of them, is the planet warmed up. And then at the end of the warming cycle, I mean, there's great climate change during a warming cycle, and at the end of it, you go back into an ice age, because the climate change brings about more precipitation, massive precipitation. And the more precipitation that you have, the more the planet begins to cool back down. And so this cycle has been going on and on and on and on. Now, there are people who say, yeah, but we are exacerbating the problem. I think we are. I think we are exacerbating the warming, but not by very much, barely measurable. What is causing, and by the way, you do understand, I know you've noticed, that all of those people that used to sing in the global warming chorus have changed it to climate change. They don't talk about global warming much anymore. They talk about climate change. Well, that's observable. I mean, of course there's climate change. But what's causing it is not the CO2 in our atmosphere. What's causing it is a massive increase of volcanic activity in the oceans. Under the oceans, there are literally thousands of volcanoes spewing nonstop. And they are heating up the oceans. The temperature of the oceans is going up. Well, when the temperature of the oceans goes up, then the temperature of the air above the ocean goes up. And when the temperature of the air above the oceans go up, the climate changes. The winds become, first of all, the patterns change. They become stronger, more violent, more unpredictable, unstable. And that's why you have more hurricanes. That's why you have more violent hurricanes and larger hurricanes. Now, is this my opinion? Well, it is my opinion that the scientists who have brought this information out are correct. We've got more on this when we come back, and then I want to get your thoughts about a lot of this. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about Dr. Harrison Schmidt. Dr. Schmidt is just one of the most credible people that you could have talking about anything to do with science. Dr. Schmidt was an astronaut. He's a former senator. He's got a doctorate degree from Harvard in geology. And he's the only geologist that's ever done anything on the moon. And maybe the only one ever to. We don't know. I certainly hope that we are able to send people back to the moon. Here we have, look, just a few months ago, last year, we had Dr. Edgar Mitchell. Now, Dr. Mitchell is the sixth man to stand on the moon. Dr. Mitchell came out and rocked the world with some statements he made about the the UFOs and extraterrestrials being a reality. It's real, and he said we have had contact with them, and the government's covering it up. And that really rocked a lot of boats around the world. Now you've got another astronaut, Dr. Harrison Schmitt, who's saying, you know what, this global warming thing that the UN is pushing, and of course he didn't say Al Gore, I'm saying it, the Al Gore movie pushes the UN agenda here. He said, you know, this is a scam because the data doesn't support it, it isn't real, and it's primarily being used as a political tool so that let me read. I don't want to misquote him. Let me read precisely what he says. The global warming scare is being used as a political tool to increase government control over American lives, incomes, and decision making. I think you got to take that guy seriously. Now, he's not alone. The UN report had something like 2,000 scientists that signed on to it and said, yes, this is real. Global warming is happening, and you're causing it. I don't dispute that there is warming. I do dispute that you're causing it. Look, let's assume for a moment that what NASA has told us about Mars is correct. Let's assume that what they've told us is accurate. Well, one of the things about that information is that according to them, the most prevalent gas in the Martian atmosphere is carbon dioxide. Now, if that's the case, why isn't Mars absolutely baking, burning up like Mercury? Because it has no magnetosphere to protect it against the sun's radiation. Granted, it's further away from the sun than the Earth is. Nevertheless, there is a constant stream of the sun's radiation coming to Mars, just like there's a constant stream of it coming to us. And, you know, it's a nonstop, constant stream of radiation. It is so intense that, according to NASA, the ultraviolet light is so intense, ultraviolet radiation so intense, that it has killed any possibility of life existing on the surface of Mars. Now, that's what they tell us. But yet, even though there's no magnetosphere and this radiation is just coming in and just baking the surface of Mars and killing any possibility of life on Mars, according to NASA, they also tell us that the most prevalent gas in that atmosphere is carbon dioxide, and it's like 90%, something like that, carbon dioxide. Okay, now if that's a greenhouse gas and that's what is causing the Earth to heat up and you're causing that carbon dioxide, if that's the case, that you're causing it on Earth, if that's the case, why on Mars do we have temperatures at minus 240, according to NASA? It's got a thick blanket of carbon dioxide around it. It's a greenhouse gas. It ought to be holding that heat in. And all that intense radiation that they say is getting to the surface and they say is killing any possibility of life on the surface of Mars, if that's the case, why isn't CO2 causing massive, rapid global warming to the point that Mars is absolutely baking? Why do they want us to believe that it does it here on Earth, but it doesn't do it there? You have 2,000 scientists that signed on to that report of the UN. There is another report, a counter report that came out. And this counter report has over 30,000 scientists signed on to it. Over 30,000. And if you take only those that in that group that have PhDs, it's over 9,000 PhDs. Now, the UN, their report, 2,000 scientists, not all PhDs. The counter report, 30,000 scientists with 9,000 PhDs, more PhDs than the total group of scientists that don't all have PhDs signed on to the UN report. And this counter report says that there is climate change, that it is mostly attributable to natural processes, natural cycles that happen. We've got the data. We know these things happen every so many thousand years. It's time for this cycle to be going on. It's happening. Also partially attributable to the massive amount of volcanic activity in the oceans, and it's heating up the oceans, thus heating up the air above the oceans, and that's causing climate change. So which one should you believe? On the surface of it, it would seem that, well, okay, some people would say, well, you ought to believe the UN because they are a great and kind and wonderful organization, and they would never, ever do anything fraudulent. And so they take the UN report and give it a great deal more significance, you see. All right, then you have the people that look at numbers and say, well, you've got on this hand 2,000 scientists, and on this hand you've only got 30,000 scientists. I mean, you've got 2,000 and 30,000. And so what happens is the 30,000 has more weight. And so you ought to believe the 30,000. Some people would look at it and say, well, that 30,000 has 9,000 PhDs in the group, in scientists, actual scientists, and the other group has a total of 2,000 people, and not all of them are PhDs. So you ought to go with the 9,000 PhDs. Here's the deal. None of that really, in the final analysis, matters. You could have a million scientists saying something and have one scientist standing outside saying, oh, no, it's this way. And that one voice out there might be correct. Like Galileo, like Copernicus, that one voice standing against the entire scientific community could be correct. So which one is correct? Well, you can run some experiments for yourself and try this out. If you have a swimming pool, go out and set up heaters all around, electric heaters all around the swimming pool. Be careful about this now. Turn them all on and blow hot air across the surface of your swimming pool. Do that day in and day out and see how long it takes for you to heat the water in the swimming pool. Even 1 degree. Hot air blowing across the surface of water does not heat the body of water. However, if you put some means of heating the water into the body of water, for instance, heating elements, you put it, submerge it in the water, and you heat up the water, then measure the temperature above the water. It's very simple to understand. Air is not as dense as water, right? So when you heat up the air, it has little effect on the water because the water has greater density. On the other hand, if you heat up the water, it has an almost immediate effect on the temperature of the air above it, because the air above it has very little density as compared to the water. And so the heat coming from the water, it evaporates up into and is absorbed into the air, and therefore the air heats up. What's happening on this planet is ocean warming, changing the climate patterns, and so we do have climate change. But are you causing ocean warming? Are you? I don't think so. I'll tell you what is causing ocean warming. What's causing ocean warming is volcanic activity. Literally, thousands, thousands, thousands of volcanoes spewing hot gas and other hot materials into the ocean, at the ocean's floors, all over this world. And it's heating up the oceans. That's heating up the air. That's changing the climate. And I'd like to know, what is it you think that you and I can do that will change that? So that's what we're actually going to talk about tonight. I will open the telephone lines, and we'll let you comment. You may think that I am 100% wrong about this, but I'll let you say whatever you want to say about it. I think that the telephone lines are open. The telephone number is 623-444-5859. 623-444-5859. I think that the whole thing with the global warming agenda, I think all of that has to do with trying to divert our attention away from what's really going on. And the reason to divert our attention away from what's really going on is if they can make us think that we caused it, then they can make us think that there's something we can do about it. If we think there's something we can do about it, then we don't panic. We just get busy trying to do it. So we get focused away from what's really happening. What's really happening is that the Earth may, in fact, be issuing us an eviction notice. The Earth may, I hope that's not the case, but the Earth may, in fact, be issuing us an eviction notice. It is, in fact, involved in a great deal of volcanic eruption under the ocean, and that's making life difficult out here on the surface. We'll be back right after this. I'd like to know what you think about this. If you think I'm all wet, let me know. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Now, as I said, I'm very interested in knowing what you think about this. And here's why. You see, this is a matter of we're getting information from allegedly official sources here. The information, the UN, that's kind of supposed to be an official source. The Al Gore movie is not an official source, but it's based on that UN report. And we're getting this information from allegedly official sources. And then we're having scientists stand up. This is one example. This is a stellar scientist here. And we're having scientists stand up and say, hang on a minute. This is not true. It doesn't fit the science. The data says something different. So as a result of that, here we are out here in the middle, and we sort of have to decide what we think is real about this. And this same thing is going all around us. I mean, we're talking about this whole global warming thing, and here we've got a spaceman, scientist, who's bringing it to our attention and saying, time out, that's not true. But the same thing happens when we start talking about anything like UFOs, when we start talking about space exploration, we talk about the moon, we talk about Mars, we get information from sources that are supposed to be official sources. How trustworthy is it? How trustworthy is that information? Now, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. I am not saying that climate change isn't real. I am saying that I don't buy the official report, the story out of the UN that it's global warming being caused by greenhouse gases that you and I are responsible for. I am also, whenever I say these things, I get email from folks who will say, they send me email trying to convince me that we are causing all of this. And just look at the massive amount of CO2 we're pumping into the air and other greenhouse gases. Look, I've said over and over and over, and I maintain that I am not for us polluting our air. I think we need to clean it up. I think we need to stop pumping all that stuff into the air. But that's different from saying that I think that is causing the climate change. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, I just wanted to say real quick that it's amazing that you actually mentioned the name Carl Sagan. He's done so much for space, yet I don't think I've ever heard his name once on the show.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about Carl Sagan before. As a matter of fact, when Stanton Friedman is on the show, he often mentions Sagan. They were classmates.
What do you think Carl Sagan would think about what's going on in space and the news and the governments right now?
I don't know. I don't know how straight Sagan shot with us about life on other planets and so forth toward the end of his life. In the beginning of his life, he was of the opinion that there has to be other intelligent life out there. It's just not possible for us to be the only ones. Towards the end of his life, he sort of backed off of that some. So I really don't know what his opinion would be now. So what do you think about Harrison Schmitt saying, folks, this is a scam?
Well, I'm just wondering why people think it's so much like global warming, or they try to categorize the fact that you've got a pendulum swinging, and it's natural for the pendulum to swing all the time in Earth's history. I mean, you have global this, you have ice ages coming and going. These things are all proven, and they're trying to prove something with, like, 10 years of evidence. Give me a break. When you measure the Earth cycles, it happens in 10 years sometimes, 100 years, 1,000 years. In the end, you're going to notice that half the cycles start one way and go another because it's like a pendulum. It swings around, and so you can't categorize it into that. But I wanted to leave you with the fact that once you know, of course, the government tries to tax on something new again, even when it's not scientifically correct. I'll leave you at that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. It is like a pendulum. It really is. Look, our entire year here on this planet is like a pendulum. For a while, the days are getting longer, you see. They get longer, 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 longer. And then they reach a point where they begin to get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And then they start over again, getting longer. Now, what if the United Nations came out with a report absolutely proving that days are getting longer right now. Well, they are. We're headed toward summer. And so they're proving that days are getting longer. And then they said it's because you're using too much electricity. And everyone needs to stop using so much electricity. Well, eventually, you see, the days will reach, we reach the end of that pendulum, and it starts to swing back the other direction. And they, the days will start getting shorter. And then the UN and their board of scientists can jump up and down and applaud and say, we're winning, we're winning, we're finally making the days shorter. That's, I think that's what's going on with the global warming thing. Now, I told you earlier, and this sort of leads us into another area of discussion. I guess most of you just really don't care about global warming or climate change, or that's, you're just not interested in that. If you were, you'd be calling the telephone number 623-444-5889. But I told you I would show you a picture of Harrison Schmitt on the moon, all right? So let's go to that, and it is quite interesting. I want you to take a look at this. Now, this picture is all over the Internet. I cannot vouch for this. I cannot say that this is an actual NASA photograph, and because I don't have the numbers, but all the sites where I've seen it say they got it from NASA. Okay, I don't have the number, the file number for this picture. It does have all the crosshairs in it and everything, you know. This is supposed to be Harrison Schmitt doing his geological stuff on the moon. I want you to take a good, hard look at this photograph. Take a good, hard look. And then I want you to tell me, what do you see in this photograph that is grossly out of place and out of character? What is there that is weird in this photograph? All right, I'll come back to that. Take a good look at it. Now, we have a feature on our site called Flash Messages. And flash messages are for people who are outside of the United States. They are for people who are outside of Canada. If you're inside of Canada, you're inside the United States, what you've got to do is pick up your telephone and call. Now, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Now, you're looking at a photograph. This shows Harrison Schmitt, who is today Dr. Harrison Schmitt. He is, this picture is taken during Apollo 17. He's on the moon. He's, it looks like he's drilling something. He's got an experiment of some kind set up there. But anyway, he's doing his geology work on the moon, doing what a geologist does. But there's something about this photograph that I find just absolutely stunning. See if you can tell. Okay? We'll be back right after this. I want to hear from you what you think about this photo. And this photo does fit into the discussion. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Now, we're talking this evening so far about statements made by Dr. Harrison Schmitt. He is a former astronaut. He is the last man to walk on the moon. He is a geologist. PhD in geology from Harvard University, and he has resigned, and former U.S. Senator, has resigned from the Planetary Society. One of the founding members of that society, Carl Sagan, and he's resigned because of a report they released supporting the position that there, number one, is global warming caused by greenhouse gases. Number two, it's your fault. It's human activity that's doing it. Now, there is, in fact, global warming taking place on Mars, and it's not to the degree that I described earlier in that fictitious scenario, but it is happening. Global warming on every planet in the solar system, and there's no human activity there. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Rick from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hi, Rick.
I just want to comment on the photograph of the moon.
Yeah.
I've probably seen it before and never noticed it, but there are clouds in the background.
There are indeed. In fact, let me just go over there and let's take a look at that. There are lots of clouds. Look at that. That is unbelievable. I mean, it's just full of clouds. Looks like a rainstorm over in the upper left-hand corner.
Sure does. Not supposed to be there in the vacuum of space.
And then, if you look way on the right side, look way at the horizon, it looks like there's a mountain range back there or a high plateau back there.
Yes, it's quite a bit darker and flat.
Mm-hmm. Look at those clouds. Now, you know, either that photograph was not taken on the moon, or the moon has an atmosphere.
One of the two.
It's got to be one of the two. So what do you think it is? Do you think it was taken on the moon?
It looks as though it is. It could be a training photo where they were training wherever that place is they do that simulates the moon.
It could be that. And like I said, I cannot vouch for this photograph,
yeah,
but it's all over the internet, and I had never seen it before, but the instant I saw it, I saw those clouds, and I said, I got to share that with the folks tonight. So, I don't know. I don't know where this was taken, the site that I got it from and the story that goes with it alleges that that's him on the moon doing his geology work. So if, and that site may be wrong, okay?
Yes.
But if that is the moon, there's a heck of an atmosphere.
Sure is.
I mean, that's the kind of clouds you see, when you're about to get a real gully washer of a rainstorm.
He needs to get his umbrella out.
I'm telling you. Rick, what do you think about his statements about global warming?
I believe it is a natural cycle. I know we are contributing to it, probably. We need to clean up our act, but it is a natural cycle.
Yeah, I think so. Now, there is a report out, you know, where there's a group of scientists saying, and I don't know, maybe some politicians too, saying that the Exxon Mobil people in their rebuttal of global warming are doing the same thing the tobacco industry did when they were saying smoking is safe and there's no evidence.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I'm not talking about Exxon Mobil. I'm talking about 30,000 real scientists that actually deal with climate and things associated therewith, 9,000 of them with PhDs in this stuff, like Harris and Schmidt, who have looked at the data and said the data used by the UN is flawed and the real data does not support their argument. And But what do you think about this same group talks about the oceans getting warmer? What do you think about that?
Evidently, the oceans are getting warmer. The polar ice is melting, and ocean levels are raising. But that's probably something that's happened thousands of times before in history.
Well, and actually it has, and the ice core samples that have been taken, primarily from Greenland, those ice core samples show that you go through this process every so many thousand years. I think we're due for the 100,000, the 250,000, and the 700,000 cycle coincide all together right now.
Yeah, and when you think about that, mankind's only been on this planet just a few seconds.
Yeah.
In the whole big picture of things.
Oh yeah, yeah, and so you know, I don't say that that there's not climate change. Listen,
yeah.
Rick, there are people listening to me right now in Australia that are baking.
Yeah.
I mean, they are having a terrible time there with a drought and excessively hot temperatures. And then, of course, we've all been watching all of that terrible news about all those wildfires, apparently some of them set on purpose by someone.
Yeah.
And so they would have a hard time in their circumstances saying that there's no global warming.
That's true.
Because they're experiencing really hot temperature. We do the same thing here in Arizona in the summertime. We'll be up over 120 degrees again this summer. All right, now, it's just miserable. But that's something that happens locally here. When you take the whole planet, the temperatures have been going up by 1 degree per century since 1400.
Yeah, and what's that make it? 6 degrees? 7 degrees, maybe?
Yeah, and it's going to continue to do that, and the climate change will continue until it reaches sort of a tipping point, and then it will precipitate entry into a new ice age.
Yep, that's my belief.
All right, man, thanks for the call.
Kevin, I might want to let you know, the first time I tried to call, your answer machine answered the phone. That may be part of the problem, though.
Okay. Well, maybe I need to. I thought we had that turned off. We'll have to check into that. All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. The telephone number is, well, I think we can probably put that back up. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And I really would like for you to comment on, you know, it's not so much of I believe global warming or I don't believe global warming. What I'm asking you to comment on is we've got two sets of data here. One set of data from 2,000 scientists, not a great percentage of them PhDs, not a great percentage of them involved in science related to climatology. You've got another group with 30,000 scientists. You got a large percentage of them are PhDs related to climatology. Which one should we think is more accurate? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing this evening?
Good.
I'm at to the point where I believe that this whole, I mean, yeah, we have climate change and there's things changing, and it's natural, and I think it's also being helped along by certain governments and their new toys. The real reason I believe that they're trying to do this and they're talking about a tax is that we're mostly supplying the United Nations with funding, and other countries are, you know, donating money. The only way that the New World Order can take effect and the the United Nations can have power and control and money is to come up with something stupid like, you know, you're polluting so much air, so you got to pay so much taxes, and everybody in the world has to pay us to the United Nations, so therefore they're finally funded to go on to do what they plan on doing. That's my theory.
What do you think they're planning on doing?
I believe they plan on making a one world order and getting rid of a bunch of us, and you know, pretty cynical myself.
Mm-hmm. Are you aware of the fact that the United Nations has authorized itself to have a standing military?
Yeah, I understand that the United States is the one that signed on to be that one.
Well, the United States led the bandwagon after Gulf War I in 1992. In January of 1992 is when they began having the hearings at the United Nations, and it was led by the United States.
Yeah, but, you know, to get through with all their cynical plans, you know, the United Nations has to grow bigger, and we have to grow smaller, and you know, and they've got to suck in the whole world one way or another, you know, and this is somebody's scheme to say, hey, yeah, well, at least we can tax everybody for this, and this would bring X amount of money to support the United Nations. I think didn't that Queen Elizabeth pay some taxes to, I don't know who it paid to, the United Nations or whatever she came over here that last time, and
I don't know.
It was really ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But I think that when you have a guy who is a former U.S. senator, who is also a former astronaut, who is also a Ph.D. in geology, that stands up and says, look, we can look at the geological record here, and we can tell you what's going on. We know what's going on. And it isn't this United Nations model of global warming. I think you have to pay attention to that guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, what's happening more and more is these honest people in these organizations are getting fed up, you know, and they're quitting, you know, and, you know, we kind of need these kind of people to hold in there, you know, so we have some people on the inside, you know, to help us out, you know, and get this information out instead of them, you know, just throwing up their hands and walking away and saying, I can't have nothing to do with this anymore, and then we're left with, you know,
yeah, but a lot of times if they stay, Terry, a lot of times if they stay on the inside, they are forbidden from speaking. Whenever I was international police and I got assigned to a United Nations mission, we signed a document stating that we could not talk to the press about the United Nations, about the mission, about what was going on, and that we would not be reporting whatever's going on in that United Nations mission back to our home government. Now, they made you sign a document stating that. And so a lot of times if you're on the inside, you're forbidden from speaking, and the only way you can get free to speak is to get out of it.
Well, it's, you know, even though they do sign that stuff and tell you that stuff,
mm-hmm.
If they, you know, you swear an oath to the Constitution, and they tell you, I don't care how many papers you sign, they ask you to go against that, you can say no, and you can report it.
You can, from inside your jail cell.
Yeah.
Yes. And see, a lot of times...
Yeah.
A lot of times what you have is someone that says, you know, if I just leave this organization, I can stand on the outside and talk about it and tell what I know about it. So, if staying in the organization, if you can actually have a real influence and move it in the right direction, that's fine. Stay in and do it. But if what you're doing in that organization really isn't moving it in the right direction and you're not being effective in that, then the thing to do is to come out of it and tell the truth.
Yeah, I could see it'd be hard in one way.
Are you looking at your screen?
Yeah.
All right. Tell you what I'm going to do. I don't know if you can see this, I've turned camera number two in a new position that we didn't used to have it in. You can see what's on the wall over here. And you can see there's a whiteboard over there. You see that?
No, it hasn't switched. It
hasn't switched over yet. Okay, well,
my screen.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to zoom in on that because I always put a Kevinism up there for the day. And every day I have one of my Kevinisms up there. So let me sort of zoom in a little bit more. I don't know if you can read that. Let me move out of the way. Here's what it says. Powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us let them be.
Exactly.
And anyone who thinks that's not true, anyone who thinks that they can rule a country with an iron fist, needs to take lessons from people like Mussolini, Ceausescu, Idi Amin, the Shah of Iran. You can run a country with an iron fist for a little while. But when the people have had enough, they will decide that you are no longer needed, that you are irrelevant. So powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us let them be.
Yeah, that's so true, you know. And I'm already past that point. I'm just waiting for the rest of the society to catch up with me.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Yeah, take care, Kev.
All right. All right, folks, the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. I think that before people jump off the cliff, look, I get emails where they say, look, I'm just not buying into your argument. It's not my argument. I didn't make this argument. One side of this argument is the United Nations and Al Gore. The other side of this argument is 30,000 scientists with 9,000 PhDs among them who actually work with climatology. The argument is between them, and I'm saying, how do you personally judge this information? Which one do you think is right and why? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, good evening, Kevin. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling tonight.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Didn't the feds pass a law a couple of years ago that nobody within their agency could talk about global warming or their opinion of it?
You know, I remember something about that. I don't remember the details about that, but I do remember something about that. But look, this is one of the things. I didn't read everything that Harrison Schmidt had to say. But one of the things that he had to say was that there's a lot of intimidation going on by political entities against scientists, and that, you know, even some of the official reports have been changed by the scientists, changed to reflect global warming, even though that's not what the data actually shows, the real data, and that it's been changed because they knuckled under to intimidation where they were told they were going to lose all of their funding.
Yeah, I believe it, and I like what he had to say. He was a real stand-up kind of guy.
Yeah, and
we need more people like him.
Well, and here's two of them now, two astronauts. You had Dr. Edgar Mitchell that came out and said, hey, you know what? The UFO thing is real. The ETs are real. We have recovered bodies. They are being studied. And there is contact between us and extraterrestrial races. Okay, now there are people who might say, I don't believe that. Okay, fine. But everyone who says they don't believe it, every single one of them can also say, you know, I've never ridden in a spacecraft or been to the moon.
Sure.
But Edgar Mitchell can say, I have ridden in spacecraft and I have been to the moon, and here's what I know from the inside.
Yeah, and these are people of integrity, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, yeah, and here's Harrison Schmitt. There are people who can say, I don't buy that. Okay, that's fine, but every single person who says, I don't buy what he's saying, needs to come up with some reason to say that the 2,000 who wrote that report for the UN, or who actually, they didn't write it, they signed it, you need to come up, if you support them, you need to come up with, why do you think that data is correct? When you've got 30,000 scientists saying that data is flawed, it's fiction.
It seems like it might have been a bit of a whitewash from the UN.
Oh, now, you don't really think the UN would do something fraudulent, do you?
Well, I don't want to get into the politics of the UN. For everybody's information, it's been 10 degrees cooler this year in my part of the world, so I don't know about this global warming.
Yeah, see, what happens, though, I agree with you, but what happens, you get regional changes because as the oceans heat, the climate patterns change, okay? And so where maybe someplace used to get a lot of rain and it was not so hot, maybe now it's going to be just hot as blazes. So you get some changes in the patterns of climate. We're getting a lot of rainfall in Arizona, more than what we normally get. And you might think, well, that would be wonderful. It'll just green everything up, and Phoenix will no longer be a desert. No, it'll still be a desert. And the reason it'll still be a desert is because right under the surface, just a few inches under the surface, we have something called caliche, clay. Mm-hmm. It's hard as brick. And so water doesn't soak into the ground. It just runs off or evaporates. And so it'll still be a desert. So all this water that used to be dumped on farmland somewhere is getting dumped here, you see. And so now farmlands are going to start being too dry, and maybe we'll have a drought there. We're getting all this water, and we can't use it.
No reservoirs or anything?
Oh, yeah, we have that, and they fill up. But, I mean, the point is it doesn't soak into the ground. We're not going to become a great farming community here.
Not overnight, no.
Well, as long as there's a layer, a thick layer of caliche clay 3 or 4 inches under our topsoil, as long as that's there, there's no hope that this is going to be a great farmland.
Right, right. Also, about the oceans heating up, isn't there supposedly some more volcanic activity going on under the sea, which is causing that type of problem?
Yeah. Thousands of volcanoes blowing off steam under the ocean right now. Hey, we're into a break. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. All right, folks, we'll be back and take your calls, more of your calls, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. And I'm really interested, if you think that the UN report is the right report, you think that information is correct, I'm interested in knowing why you think that data is correct. Now, that report says that there is this thing called global warming. That report says that it is being caused by primarily greenhouse gases, and that those are being caused primarily by you and by me. If you think that's not true, and you think this report by 30,000 scientists, 9,000 PhDs in the group, that says the data simply does not support that UN report. If you think it's correct, why do you think it's correct? You see, just because there's 30,000 of them, and that's impressive. Just because there's 9,000 that are PhDs in that group, that's impressive. That doesn't mean they're right. The whole world at one time, officially, did not buy the idea that the planets and stars and everything is in motion, and that the Earth is in motion. They believed that it all revolved or orbited, rotated around the Earth. A couple of voices separated by a great deal of time said, no, that's not true. Copernicus, one voice against the establishment. But he was right. Galileo, one voice against the establishment. But that one voice was right. So just because there's 30,000 doesn't mean they're right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Lynn from Southern California.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I've been studying the USGS services, the seismic activity of the world for the last, about 6 or 7 years. It's increased considerably, and I do believe that's causing the volcanic activity under the sea and the warming of the sea. The warming of the ocean is causing the major amount of climate change. That's here on Earth. I believe that a very minor amount of warming could be cleaned up by our particular, you know, personal, like stopping the gas emissions or whatever. But it's a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a cycle that we're going through, a universal cycle. I also think that some of the earthquakes are being projected by HAARP.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Why would they do that?
Technology.
For what reason would they be doing that?
I don't know, but there is an international technology that not just HAARP, but other countries have this technology where that they can cause an earthquake to happen. I don't know why.
Yeah, I know they can. You know, as a matter of fact, I think it was, he was the Secretary of Defense, Cohen, and I think it was 1992. No, it wasn't. But he was the Secretary of Defense under Bill Clinton. And he made the statement that there are terrorist organizations and rogue states that have the technology by means of projecting electromagnetic waves to set off earthquakes and
yes.
control weather and so forth. Yeah, he said that.
Yeah, and I've heard that about the weather control also.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think it's, like you said, a pendulum that swings. We're going through a cycle, and that's the primary cause. I think also the earthquake activity is causing the warming of the ocean because of the volcanic activity under the sea.
Well, would you like to hear something pretty startling and interesting from someone, actually from several someones, inside the group that buys the UN report?
What?
There's an article that came out this week. If you go to ScienceDaily.com, you can find this article. And I wish I could remember the scientist's name who was the spokesman. But I can't remember his name. That said, if we were to stop 100% of all of the greenhouse gas emissions that we're doing right now, stop them today, it would have no effect on global warming for the next 1,000 years.
Really?
Yeah. Here's why I think that's startling, and here's why I think they sort of tip their hand. By saying that, it's a recognition, I think, without coming out and publicly admitting that their data was flawed and their models were flawed. It's an admission that the data, as interpreted by the 30,000, is accurate. That we there's nothing we can do that's going to have an impact on global warming. I think, I mean, that's what they're admitting. They're admitting that no matter what you do, you're not going to stop global warming, and you're not going. This process is not going to stop for the next 1,000 years.
Yeah, well, the best we can do is clean up the air, eh?
Yeah, and let me say this, Lynn. Some people interpret what I say about this as, okay, well, then we don't have to do anything about fossil fuels. We don't need to do anything about air quality. They use it as an excuse to say, okay, just go on as we are. No, that stuff's killing us, whether it's causing global warming or not.
Right.
It's killing us, and we need to clean our air up. And so I am for a clean environment.
I believe we have the technology to do that. I don't know why it's being suppressed.
Yeah, I think so as well. And, I am for a clean environment. But the idea that somehow we are killing the planet, I don't buy that. We're making it really dirty, but we're not killing the planet. And hey, look, in a war between the planet and us, the planet's going to win.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. You should not, under any circumstances, misconstrue what I say as being an excuse for us to continue to pollute our planet. We're killing ourselves by dumping all of the toxic chemicals into the water and the toxic chemicals going into the air. And, I mean, we're killing ourselves. And we should not be doing that. But this whole thing about climate change, it's not related to that. It's coming from other sources. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey, Louisiana.
Hi, Trey.
Hey, Kevin. Let me ask you, I heard, it might have been the UN or somebody mentioned, and it was told in the context of, yes, if we stopped driving all the cars now, it wouldn't do anything, because we've already caused so much damage, it's too late to turn back now. See, that's the whole thing I got from what I saw, I don't know, I think it was 3 or 4 months ago, and that was the way they were presenting it, as if we had done so much damage already, it's too late, we've destroyed it, you know, and whatever we started is too late to stop it, you know.
Yeah, I've read that. But, you know, let's say we did stop it. Do you know how much of those greenhouse gases, if we are not continually pumping more into the air, do you know what percentage of them would dissipate with thunderstorms and snowstorms? And by thunderstorm, I don't just mean rain. I'm talking about lots of lightning. There would be so much of that that would dissipate rapidly, a huge percentage of it would dissipate rapidly. Now, we're pumping more into the atmosphere than it can get rid of fast enough. And we're cutting down, I say we, I'm talking about us humans on this planet, cutting down, clear-cutting forests at an alarming rate, and they, those forests, use tons of CO2. But once they're gone, they're not there to use it. However, the number one filter of CO2 on this planet is the ocean. CO2 is a very heavy gas. It's a very heavy gas. If you ever see, CO2 is used to flash freeze food. And you'll see big tanker trucks carrying CO2 going down the highways. Now, if you ever see one of those tanker trucks expel CO2, empty its tank, the CO2 will hang right at the ground It doesn't go up into the air. It hangs right at the ground. You can see it's a white cloud. And it'll hang right at the ground. It's not toxic, but it's dangerous because it displaces oxygen. So you don't want to walk up into a cloud of it. My question is, if CO2 is heavier than air, and it is, how is it that they're saying it's getting all up into the upper atmosphere and it's causing all of this greenhouse effect and causing global warming? CO2 is heavier than air, and if you stop pumping more of it into the air, what's there will sink, and the ocean absorbs most of it.
Yeah, well, there's not CO2 in our upper atmosphere. I can promise you that. That's I've looked at the models before, and if there's CO2 in our upper atmosphere, then something's terribly wrong. And, you know, we are all doomed because the percentage of it is so small, and it's all to the ground. And you're right, Kevin, that I read the only way people die from CO2 is, like you just said, if it displaces their oxygen that they're breathing. And the only place that happens is whenever the planet itself naturally releases a giant pocket of CO2 from a swamp or marsh or however this works. I read about it happening along the coast of some country.
Well, not only that, it has happened in Yellowstone Park.
Yeah, but that's natural. Mm-hmm. That's the only possible way. You would have to be a natural cause deal. It isn't, you know, you walk behind someone's car and all of a sudden you can't breathe. It's such a large amount that hangs around, displaces all the oxygen for such a long perimeter that everybody in that perimeter can't breathe. So that's the Earth itself producing so much more than we can possibly imagine just at that one little time.
Yeah. Here's something that I think they don't want you to think about. With all of that ocean warming, big frozen piles of CO2 that have frozen at the bottom of the ocean, because the temperatures are so cold at the bottom of the ocean, warm up. And if they warm up enough in big enough quantity, you could have a massive CO2 bubble pop out into the atmosphere and really do some damage. So if they make us think that we're causing it and we can change it, they can take our minds off of the possibility of what could happen to us just if the Earth decides to evict us. Trey, we're into a break. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right, folks, we'll be back right after. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We'll take one more call. I think we've got time for that. At 623-444-5889. If you want to chime in and give us your two cents on this, I think it's an important thing for us to think about. Nothing that I say should be taken as an excuse for us not to clean up our planet. That's not what this is about. But let's clean it up for the right reasons. Let's clean it up because, number one, it's the right thing to do. Number two, it's killing us doing what we're doing. But let's not labor under the misinformation that by doing that, we are going to stop global warming, because that's not what's up. What's up is ocean warming. It's a cycle. It's we're seeing massive amounts of volcanic activity in the oceans right now, and a lot of seismic activity, and so that's really what's up, and I can't stop that, but at least let's make our planet as clean as it can be for us. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Clay from Arkansas.
Hi, Clay.
I can't hear you. If you could turn it up just a hair.
Yeah, it's up all the way, Clay. It's your phone has a low signal. Go ahead.
There was a scientist that basically made this glass bubble or whatever, and put a bunch of plants in it, and basically pumped a bunch of carbon dioxide in it. And all that happened was the plants grew.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they see, the plants use it. The plants use carbon dioxide, and they convert it back into oxygen.
That's all that really happened. And I have another question, too. This thing down in Texas that happened on CNN, what was that all about, that big big ball of fire?
Well, at first, the FAA was saying it may be falling debris from that satellite collision.
Yes.
Now they're saying that's not what it was. Maybe it was a meteor. And then there are some scientists now saying, no, it wasn't a meteor. So the FAA is now saying, we don't know what it was.
That's puzzling.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a video of it. It did not look like a UFO.
It didn't, huh?
No, I saw the video of it. But whatever it was a big ball of fire flying through the sky.
Could it be interdimensional? I mean, could...
Yeah, I guess it could be.
I mean, they didn't find nothing.
No, they sure didn't. Law enforcement down there is saying we went out and looked for it. We didn't find anything. And they also said we're not disputing that people saw something. We just don't know what it is.
Well, that's all I have.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, I think we're sort of living right at the edge of time, a time, where law enforcement and even some media are beginning to just be straight and say, okay, look, something happened. We don't know what it was. And that's okay. It's okay to say, I don't know. A couple of things as we approach the end of the show that I want to talk with you about and I want to remind you of. And the first one is this, and that is the seminar that we're planning to do with Gods in the Garden. Now, if you're new, you don't know what this is all about. I wrote a book that deals with what Genesis actually says. I'm not a religious person. This is not a book of theology. It is a book that deals with the actual words that are in Genesis. It is not, there is a story about origins in Genesis. It is not the story that you normally hear out of religious groups. Now, that really upsets some religious groups when I say that, but I can tell you for sure that if you're religious, the Bible that you tuck up under your arm and carry to church with you Sunday after Sunday does not tell the story you think it tells about origins, because you're reading it through the sunshades of theology. If you just read the words and it says what it says, forget what everybody told you it means, it tells a whole different story than what you've been told. So we're going, I published that book a couple of years ago, and I've had lots of people say, man, I wish you'd do a seminar on that. I wish you would, you know, get into depth on that. I'm going to do it, and we're shooting for March 29th. That's the date we're shooting at, okay? It's going to be a live seminar. If you're in the Phoenix area, you will be able to come to the seminar live, all right? You'll be able to be there when I do it. It's about 3 hours. We'll every 90 minutes or so, we'll take a break, but it's about 3 hours of seminar, and I'll be explaining in depth everything that's in that story. You would be absolutely amazed. Let me just give you one thing. You've always heard the creation story from Genesis. Religious people talk about it, and they try to prove that it actually happened this way. And they say that everything, the universe, everything was created in 6 days. All right, now what if I were to tell you that your Bible, I don't care which version you carry, your Bible, your Genesis, says that's not true? Does that blow you away? Well, it does say that's not the case. Everything was not created in 6 days, and it actually comes right out and says so. Now, you're probably scratching your head and saying, I've never seen that. That's the point. Most people that are religious believe what they've been told, what they've been taught by theologians, and they haven't read their book. Well, if you read your book, you'll find out everything was not created in 6 days, according to what Genesis actually says. Now, that may have rattled your cage, you're upset, you think I'm a heretic. Okay. I've been invited to go to hell so often, I actually have a picture of me standing in flames. It's on our Kevin Smith Show coffee cup. We're going to do the seminar. I'm going to do it hopefully March 29th, and I need to hear from you if you're interested. If you cannot be with us in the live audience physically here in the Phoenix area, you can be part of our Internet TV audience and attend the seminar live as we do it right here in the Phoenix area. So you can be wherever you are in the world and watch that seminar and be a part of it. Okay? But you have to be signed up for the seminar in order to do that. You'll get a password that will get you into the seminar on the Internet, on Internet TV. Another thing that I want to mention and is very important is that we have this drawing coming up. Now, this drawing is going to take place March the 2nd. Everyone who is in our members area, if you've got your name in your profile in the members area, your name is going into the hat. We're going to mix them all up, and there will be a drawing on March the 2nd. And Expeditions TV is giving away that beautiful tapestry that you saw during the breaks. You see Jerry Wills holding up that tapestry. It's a hand-woven wool tapestry from Urcos Island, which is in Peru. And the value of that thing is more than the annual subscription for the members area. But there's only one. We're not going to be giving a first prize, second prize, third prize. You don't have to buy tickets in order to win it. It's not like that. It's just Jerry's way of saying thank you for being members at the Kevin Smith Show. All right? March the 2nd. All right. That's it. That's a wrap for this evening. I wish we had more time, but we don't. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.